We come to Daniel chapter 9. I want to read again for you the most of the four verses that begin the chapter. Well, I'll read as far as the start of verse 4. Beginning at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he, that is, that God, would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. We'll keep our Bibles open there, asking for the help of the Lord just now. Let's all pray. Lord, come by. We need Thee now. It is our prayer. Visit us in these times. Lord, leave us not to be a prey to the enemy, but grant instead the infilling of the Holy Spirit with power. We cry to Thee for Spirit-filled preaching. O God, minister to our hearts. Stand alongside of this preacher. Give him the wisdom. Give him the grace. Give him power of utterance, even to declare Thy mind and Thy holy word this day. And O God, may we receive the word with all gladness, with much profit. May our souls be edified. May we all be built up in that most holy faith that Thou hast given unto us. O Lord, be with us just now. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is an inspired book. The history of the Bible is inspired. The prophecy of the Bible is inspired. The teaching of the Bible is inspired. There is nothing in the Bible that is without significance. And even the dates of the Bible are important. Needless to say, the dates of the Bible are accurate. But there's more than this for us to consider. I ask the question, when you look at the beginning of verse 1 there, what is there in a date? Well, what is there in this date? What can we learn from the date that is given to us at the start of Daniel chapter 9? Or to put the question another way, what did Daniel learn? If we actually go back to Daniel's day, what did Daniel learn from this date? Let me point this out. There is an idea. It's a foolish idea. It's an erroneous idea. But there is an idea among some scholars that Daniel lived in the 2nd century B.C. That is, he lived about 150 years before Christ, these men have thought. And that would mean that Daniel did not live in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and he did not live in the days of the captivity of Israel to Babylon, even though he says he did. Now, when you come to Daniel chapter 9, you'll see that the Holy Spirit inserts a date plainly into verse 1. And that date is repeated for emphasis in verse 2. I'm saying, by drawing your attention to this, that the Holy Spirit foresees all types of error. And the Spirit of the Lord puts us right concerning any misconception that we might have or that somebody else might have concerning the nature of Daniel's prophecy and the time when he ministered. We know that Daniel did live by his record in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And we know by this record, this inspired record, and I'm saying the Bible is inspired. Inspired in its history, as well as in its prophecy, and inspired in its teaching. And even the dates of the Bible are not without significance. And so, as I endeavor to stress the fact that at the beginning of Daniel 9, the date is repeated twice. Twice for emphasis. Then you and I may know with certainty Daniel was there at that time. And the date is, of course, the first year of Darius the Mede. Now this date not only sets the time of Daniel's ministry, and sets the time when he prayed this prayer, which is recorded in Daniel 9. This date points to something else. This date points us to something else that is tremendous. And we're going to notice this in a moment. But I draw your attention to Daniel's prayer. What a prayer it is. The heart of this servant of God is powerfully opened up and stirred by the Lord even as he engages in supplication. You will know that prior to this, we have learned of Daniel and his praying. That Daniel prayed 3 times every day. But when you come across that in the earlier chapter, you're not told exactly what he prayed, although I think there is a hint given as to how he sought the Lord even back then. But here in chapter 9, word by word, line by line, we're going through one of the prayers, one of the mighty prayers offered by the prophet Daniel before the face of God. This is then an example of how Daniel sought God in the place of prayer. And this too is a pattern for us. Let me show you first of all concerning this prayer. Verse 2. As Daniel goes to prayer, how important is the preparation? I observe that this old time servant of God, the man greatly beloved and blessed by God with special wisdom, I see a man preparing his heart to pray. Ordinarily, we can't go straight into prayer without heart preparation. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for somebody to pray off the top of his head. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, you can pray in a moment's emergency. Yes, you can pray when, without any prior warning, suddenly you're in a situation where you have to cry to God. That's different. But I'm talking now of regular prayer, of prayer at the appointed season. Then it is necessary for us to prepare ourselves to seek God. The Lord allows us to pray in a moment's emergency without the preparation that we would normally require of ourselves. But it's a different thing when it is that appointed time for prayer in the course of the day or in the night time when you're seeking God. Then there must be preparation. Listen, you can pray well when the heart is prepared. And how does Daniel prepare? I have suggested already this is a pattern prayer. Here's a prayer that we can adopt, a prayer that we can follow. And you will see in verse 2 how Daniel understood by books the number of the years. What books? Why, the books of Holy Scripture. Daniel was searching the Scriptures before he went to prayer. And thus, as he prays, his language in prayer is couched in the language of Scripture. The best way the Christian can prepare himself for prayer is to immerse his soul in the Word of God. That's what Daniel's doing here. I understood by books. Let me pick out that word understood. What does it entail? It must mean that Daniel read his Bible discerningly. It wasn't a matter merely of him reading the books. And he was reading more than one book at the time. But he understood by the books. That is to say, he got enlightenment. His soul was opened up and stirred by the Word of God. He was reading discerningly. I think that's a good word for it here. I understood, I discerned by the books. So Daniel himself was benefiting before he even went to prayer. He benefited by having searched the Scriptures. And men and women, this is not a coincidence. When we go to prayer, we have to bathe the soul in the Word of God first. It doesn't make sense for you to think about praying if you're not seeking God's mind in the Scriptures. For prayer and the Word of God go hand in hand. And no one here should consider praying, as it were, without the book. And it wouldn't be a good thing for you to read the book without prayer either. More than one person could testify to this. I was reading somewhere recently of a lady who made a record. It was like a spiritual diary. And she was saying, before I read my daily portion from the Scriptures, I sought the Lord and I prayed earnestly that He might bless the reading of the Scriptures to my soul. How right she was. There are some Christians who say, and say readily, and maybe with a sense of difficulty or shame, I read my Bible, but I don't seem to get anything out of it. And there are people who would say also, I would love to pray, but I don't really know how to pray. I can't pray. I would love to pray. I hear people in the church praying, and I would love to pray like that, but I can't pray. Let me try and deal with both these problems at the one time. Before you start your daily reading of the Bible, just you bow your head. And like that lady to whom I have made reference, you would say, Lord, bless the reading of Thy holy word this day. Speak to my soul. Is the Bible a speaking book to you? It ought to be. It's God's purpose that it is. And we have the entitlement. We have the duty before we even begin the reading to say, Lord, this is Thy holy word. Speak to my soul this day. How long ago is it since you read the Bible like that? And then when you come to pray, offering those petitions, do not just depend on the list that you have of special items to be mentioned. Just don't go through that like a routine. But before you start to pray, you could say, Lord, open the book to me. Give me this word. Give me a word from God today. You will see here, as Daniel prays, he's reading discerningly in the Scriptures, and the two go together. But then there are some, perhaps, there may be some in this congregation who haven't opened the book all week. I know you'll say, I've been so busy going here and there and yonder, haven't opened the book all week. Allow me to say a little word to you. You've been too busy. You've been far too busy when you've left the Lord out. There is a neglect of Scripture these days, and there is a neglect of praying, even among God's people. And I have the notion, whether I'm right or not, I cannot say, but I have the notion betimes that there are Christians in this meeting or another meeting, and when the preacher opens the book and they open the book, that's the only time in the week they have opened the pages of this holy volume. We need to read the Word of God every day. We need to read the Word of God every day. And especially when you come to pray, remember this. Follow the prophet Daniel. Go in the footsteps of this mighty man of God who before he prayed chastening his heart and his own soul, was bathing himself in the Word of God, and he read discerningly in the book, and so benefited as he prayed. When I read, therefore, verse 3, the first line, and verse 4, the first line, and I set my face unto the Lord God, and I prayed unto the Lord God. This is a man seeking God's face and praying, whose heart has been taught already in the Word that day. There's no other way to seek the Lord. Ideally, on a Monday night, it would be good for you to get alone with God before the prayer time, before you leave home to come to the house of God, to open the book and get a promise from God and ask the Lord to visit you and bless you in your own soul. And then when you come to the prayer meeting will be 100% better. Of course, if you've got laid home from work, and it's been hard enough to get washed and cleaned and dressed to come to the house of God, yes, I would say just come on. But for those who can, give the time, take time to prepare to meet the Lord. Let's go a little further. Daniel understood by the books. That means that he learned. He learned from God's Word as he went to prayer. My Daniel is wise. He's called in Scripture a man blessed of God with wisdom. And Daniel is the one greatly beloved. No question about that. But here is Daniel, wise as he is, beloved of God as he is, coming to the Scriptures and learning from the book. And what he saw there, listen carefully. What he saw in the book moved him to pray. Well, what did he see? If he's searching the books, whereabouts in the books, of the Bible, did he go? He went to the prophecy of Jeremiah, he says. He went to other places as well, but he mentions first of all Jeremiah. But then Jeremiah has 52 chapters. And whereabouts in Jeremiah could he have gone for his searching of the Scriptures? There are only two places in all the Bible where the precise time of Israel's captivity in Babylon is given ahead of time. They're both in Jeremiah. Would you like to turn them up? Jeremiah 25. Now, if you're with me in spirit and in heart as I preach, it will be with a sense of suspense, with deep concern that you turn to Jeremiah 25. Maybe even with a thrill. Maybe with a thrill in your heart, knowing that as Daniel, the great prophet in days of old, went to prayer, he was handling these Scriptures. He was reading these words as you're reading them. A different language, it's true. But you know what I'm saying. Daniel was reading Jeremiah. In that part of Jeremiah, we call Jeremiah 25. And when we get to the latter part of verse 11, these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans. And will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land, the land of Babylon, all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Just for convenience, the land of Iraq is the land that we would associate way back in those times with the territory of Babylon. Iraq extends its boundaries much further afield than Babylon and its land, but certainly today it encloses Babylon and the land. And here's Daniel reading from these words and finding out that there are 70 years to Israel's captivity, and when the 70 years are up, that God will bring about the fall of Babylon, and God will punish that land because of their afflictions of his people. And have you got a finger in Daniel 9? And are you looking at the first verse of Daniel 9? And do you see what Daniel immediately concludes? What he learns from the date for his praying? For here it is, in Daniel 9 and 1, in the first year of Darius, that's Darius the Mede. Again, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, and the penny dropped. For already the king of Babylon has fallen. Already the Medes and the Persians have invaded the country, and they have swept out of office those who before held the scepter of terror in the land of Babylon. Babylon has come down! Babylon has come down! And Daniel can say that. This is the first year of Darius. The 70 years are ended! Glory to God! That's what God said in the book of Jeremiah. Daniel understood that. He discerned it by the books. He said, this is it! The kingdom of Babylon has come down. And God said it would. After 70 years. But he was reading on. He was reading on in Jeremiah. I said, Jeremiah specifies two occasions when he puts in this detail about the 70 years captivity coming to an end. Turn to chapter 29. So he didn't have to read very much further on. And still in the book of Jeremiah, I ask the question, what is in a date? If Daniel discerned come that date, if he discerned certain things from the books, what did he discern? What did he learn that moved him to pray and pray with certainty and power? And what can we learn from the date? Well, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. There's ever so much in this. I'll try to be quick about it. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That's the land of Israel. And the Lord is saying, at the end of the 70 years, I'll bring you back to the land. Glory to God. I will perform my good word toward you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end. To give fulfillment to your prayers, that is. To give fulfillment to the promise. To give fulfillment to what faith envisions. I will give you the expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place, the land of Israel, whence I caused you to be carried away captive. This was what Daniel was reading. He understood by the books. There were two things about the end of the 70 years. And the first one was, Babylon will come down after 70 years. And Babylon has already come down. This prayer we're reading is the first year of Darius the Mede. The Persians, the Medes, have come in to take the kingdom formerly held by the king of Babylon. Babylon, I say, has come down. And then in the second reference in Jeremiah, Daniel understood that after 70 years I will visit you and the time will have come for you to return to the land. The 70 years, you'll notice, are literal years. 70 years are to be counted. That's almost two generations. But the Lord is saying, even as this time drifts by, I am keeping the word in view. Now, if you're looking at Jeremiah 29, and you especially examine verses 12 and 13, there's only one message there that you can get. When the 70 years are up, well, Babylon will come down, and Babylon has come down. This is just the first year, right away, the first year of Darius the Mede. Daniel hasn't wasted any time. And what has he taught? What did he understand by the books? Well, he's understanding these things. He understands Babylon has got to come down. He understands Israel after this 70-year period. When Babylon comes down, Israel will go back to her own land. Then he discovers, thirdly, that he must pray about it. God requires him to pray. For verse 12 and 13 says, then, when that expected end is in view, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray. Go and pray. Go and pray. Let me single out those words. Go and pray. Go and pray. Is there somebody here today in trouble? Go and pray. Is there a child of God deep down in the depths? Go and pray. Is there somebody here shedding tears over a loved one far away from God? Go and pray. Are we concerned about the visitation of the neighborhood? Go and pray. Are we talking about the well-being of the house of God? Go and pray. Three great words, aren't they? You get them in verse 12. You should mark them carefully. Go and pray unto me. That's what God's saying. Daniel understood by the books. I will hearken unto you. Isn't that great? I'm listening, God says. And verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Isn't that tremendous? After 70 years, God is saying, Daniel, you go and pray. And so, in Daniel 9, I read, it's no accident, it's no mere coincidence. I read in Daniel 9 and verse 3, and, that's the conjunction, because of what he discerned in the books, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He started to pray because he found in the scriptures, he found inside the scripture reading that he found God's instruction, go and pray. And so he did. And Daniel lays hold on the promises to seek the Lord. Now that the 70 years are accomplished. That's what he learned. Look at verse 2 of Daniel 9. Daniel understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And there are two occasions in Jeremiah when that information is there, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And because Daniel is burdened to get the people back to God, back to the land of the Bible, back to the book, he says, I set my face unto the Lord to seek thy prayer, supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. Now, God has called you to pray. We have tremendous attendances on a Monday night. Don't you think, if God breathed in our hearts, that attendance could actually be doubled? Don't you think if we took to heart, really took to heart what God has said so pointedly, go and pray, we would see the numbers shoot up on a Monday night. And we would see the numbers shoot up immensely on a Sunday morning before the service. and on a Sunday evening, go and pray. You see how Daniel prayed. For it wouldn't be right just to finish and not see how he prayed, having talked about the preparation that went into this prayer. Do you see, first of all, verse 3, I set my face. You have to set yourself to pray. Prayer, if we talk about regular prayer, prayer at an appointed time, prayer in the privacy of your own room, it won't come about all that easily. You have to retire to that room. You have to go there with the express purpose of seeking God in that room. You might have to disconnect the phone before you go. More than likely the devil will see to it that the phone rings, and there you'll be away to talk to somebody on the phone. Now Daniel says here, I set my face. What does that mean? It means that he had the express purpose of seeking the Lord at this time. Or to put it another way, it means that he gave himself to prayer. And there is a case, men and women, for saying we need to give ourselves to prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to the reading of the Scriptures. And that's the significance of what we read in verse 3. Daniel setting his face, he gave himself. Oh, you can't pray any other way. Otherwise, prayer becomes something of a rhyme. But if you set yourself to accomplish things in prayer, to do as Daniel did, lay hold on the promise. And the promise Daniel had was about the end of the 70-year period of captivity. But he took that promise. He stood on the promise as he prayed. And he gave himself to prayer. Notice again, verse 4, that there had to be confession of sin. I made my confession. You can't go to God as one who doesn't require to make confession. You need to keep short accounts with God. You can't expect the spirit of prayer if there are things there in your life that are not right in the sight of God. You can't expect God's best, God's blessing, if you know there are things that are not right. Yes, there has to be confession. The only way to get through with God is to get down on your knees and confess your sin. And if you say, well, I have no sin, you're a most unusual person. I want to meet you at the end of the meeting. No, there must be confession. Daniel made his confession. In the New Testament, I read 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Turn with me to Proverbs, if you will. You can find Psalms. After Psalms comes Proverbs. Proverbs 28. And the verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And if there is one in the congregation today, maybe unconverted, and you're covering your sin, you will not prosper. If there's a backslider present in the meeting, and you're covering your sin, you will not prosper. If there's a child of God about the same business, you're a believer, you should know better. You should know better. But you're covering sin. You will not prosper. Hear me on this. You will not prosper. But, and thank the Lord for the but, that lets us all in, doesn't it? But, whoso, and glory to God, that whosoever includes you, whoso confesseth and forsaketh. You see, the forsaking, it's not just a confessing, but must needs be a forsaking of sin. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What did Daniel confess? Come back to Daniel. To Daniel chapter 9. He goes down through a whole list. There are 7 words in the list. I won't try to speak about all of them, but we can mark them. Let me call them out in verse 5. Number 1, we have sinned. The first word in the confession is sin. Well, don't make any bones about it if you go to confession with the Lord alone. You have to confess sin. That's what it is. Put the name on it. Don't call it something else. It would be the easiest thing for you to get some other name, some other way of describing it. Listen, you've got to come down to this in all honesty of soul and put the name of sin on it. Then, verse 5, the second word is iniquity. And the third word is wickedly. We have done wickedly. And the next word, the fourth one, is rebelled. We have rebelled. There's rebellion in the heart. And that has to do with antagonism, maybe even bitterness. But of necessity, it refers to an opposing of the Lord, opposing God. There are Christians in churches opposing God. There have been Christians in congregations in days of old who, when God's way was opened up, they were there to oppose it. And you have no business opposing God's way for God's people. Don't stand in the way of blessing. That then is to sin, to do iniquity, even to do wickedly and to rebel. And then comes word number 5, departing. By departing, you can't sin without departing from God. You get away from God when there is something not right in your life and you're refusing to deal with it. You're departing from God. Then notice again, verse 6. This is tremendous. Neither have we hearkened. Or to put it in up-to-date language, you have not listened. Who can say in this congregation, the word doesn't apply to me? Isn't it a fact that God has spoken to you? Isn't it a fact the Lord has troubled your heart and you have not listened? Isn't it a fact that the Lord has touched your heart time after time and you have not listened? I don't know what the Lord will have to do with you. I ask the question, what does the Lord have to do with you when you won't listen? Let me surprise you. This word listen comes up in 3 other places. Look at verse 10. Here it's translated. It's the same word. But it's translated obed. Neither have we obeyed. But you can write in with your pen over the word obed in verse 10. Neither have we hearkened. Neither have we listened. We haven't listened to the voice of the Lord. We have not listened. Look at verse 11. And you will notice in verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey, that they might not listen. That's what the word is in the original. They will not listen. And in verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it on us. For the last line of verse 14, we obeyed not, we just did not listen. Isn't that a sad thing? Is there a backslider today who's saying, my life is in ruins because I did not listen? Is there somebody today who has been brought down to tears and absolute brokenness into a shattered experience and you're saying, I did not listen, I did not listen? Well, others of you have the opportunity to listen, and you should listen now. Doesn't Daniel hit the nail on the head when he prays? He prays for those who are afar off. He prays for those who are near. He prays in verse 13 with concern, because he says, "All this evil has come upon us, yet we made not our prayer that we might turn from our iniquities and understand and act sensibly." That's what the word "understand" there means. Act sensibly with the truth by listening to it. We haven't done the right thing. Is God's word spoken to you today? Are you listening? Can you go down through the list? Can you be like Daniel? Can you give yourself to prayer? Can you make your confession? Can you hit the nail on the head? My time has gone. Suffice to say, the burden lifted, the dark clouds rolled away. And twice over, verse 20 and 21. Notice this, please. Verse 20 and 21. While I was praying, while I was speaking, God said, right there at the beginning when you prayed, the answer has come. Isn't that marvelous? Just when you started to pray, God says. Daniel says, while I was still on my knees, while I was still crying to God, the Lord came by wonderfully, with blessing, with recovery, with restoration, with encouragement, with pardon. Wonderfully, the Lord came by while I was praying, while I was engaging in prayer. God blessed a man in a soul. Isn't that something? God's promise still holds. The pathway to the mercy seat still there. The Lord still faithful. And if He blessed Daniel, He can bless you, and He can bless me. Lord, hear the cry of our heart today. Melt our souls. Leave us not in these days. Lord, we need Thee. We have such difficulty in these times. The world is in tight. There's death all around us. Here we have found an oasis in the desert. Here, Lord, our souls have been wonderfully refreshed. And we thank Thee for drawing near. We thank Thee, Lord, for speaking to us. Help us to hear with the heart and to act sensibly with the Scriptures, as we have seen in this prayer. Lord, help me to do it. Help me to do it now. Help me to do it right this minute. Help me to do it this week. Lord, bless in these meetings, in these places. Oh, come down, Lord, in an extraordinary fashion. Hear prayer in this matter. Separate us now with Thy blessing. Cover us. Cover us all beneath the shadow of Thy wing. In Jesus' name, amen.